It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The three rivers surrounding the city play a major role in the commerce, recreation, and ecology of Pittsburgh. Since 2000, RiverLife President and CEO Lisa Schroeder has been at the helm of the organization. In that time, she's overseen improvements to the city's waterfront. However, her tenure is coming to an end. And before she leaves Pittsburgh for her hometown of Baltimore, she's agreed to what we like to call an exit interview. Lisa Schroeder, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Paul, and it's an honor. I love your program. Learn a lot about the city.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. What are your thoughts about how the riverfront has changed over the last 15 years? What are the improvements that you appreciate? What are the improvements that you would still like to see happen? What are the concerns that you have about the quality of the riverfront in Pittsburgh? 412-246-2002 to join our conversation with RiverLife President and CEO Lisa Schroeder. Lisa, RiverLife, as you know, was founded in 1999, and you've been with the organization since 2000. What were the major tasks that you faced at the beginning of your tenure?
Now, RiverLife has been focused on a community vision for the riverfronts. Of course, Pittsburgh has been working on getting back to its rivers for decades through riverfront trails and brownfield revitalization. But in 1999, a group of enlightened leaders came together and said, we can have a community vision. And we invited everyone who would have us to the table. We've conducted a couple hundred public meetings since that time, and in order to determine what people really wanted to see on the waterfronts. So RiverLife has been working in the last 15 years on creating Three Rivers Park, which is Pittsburgh's downtown riverfront experience. Three Rivers Park extends from the West End Bridge to the Hot Metal Bridge on the Monongahela and the 31st Street Bridge on the Allegheny. And that's 13 miles of riverfront right in the heart of our city, with over there are eight or nine projects that have been undertaken since that time.
And it's certainly been a time of growth for the riverfront in Pittsburgh. What were the condition, or what was the condition of the rivers in Pittsburgh? We know what it was like 40 years ago in the early 70s. They were pretty polluted. They've been cleaned up considerably since then, but I'm wondering how much progress had been made as of 15 years ago when you took over your position.
Well, when we started 15 years ago, we used to describe Pittsburgh's riverfronts as among the most obstructed in the nation by elevated highways and railroad tracks and parking lots. It's almost hard for us to imagine what the riverfronts were like without the revitalized Point State Park and North Shore Park and South Shore Riverfront Park and all of the beautiful hundreds of acres of green space that have been included since then.
Was there any one seminal event or epiphany that somebody had? Because it seems that not only in Pittsburgh, but in other parts of the country where so much industry had accumulated alongside the rivers, at what point did somebody finally wake up and say, you know, there's a view here. You can build around this. You can create something that has aesthetic value based on the fact that the topography, that the rivers are here, that in Pittsburgh in particular, it's very dramatic. Those two rivers, the Allegheny and the Monongahela, coming to a point to form the Ohio, you know, a legendary waterway that Lewis and Clark followed on their journey out west. When did somebody wake up and say, yeah, we can capitalize on this?
It's a great question. And I think that particularly in Pittsburgh, we had a culture that ran very deeply around the toxicity of the rivers. The rivers were in many ways the sewer of the region, as well as an industrial highway. So it really took some deep digging philosophically for people to start looking at the riverfronts as the natural treasure. And that's really the challenge that RiverLife put in front of the community. I think that we had a tremendous eureka brought to us from our lead planner, Alex Krieger, who at the time was the head of planning and design at Harvard University. So he was a professor who knew a lot about the potential of waterfronts to enliven cities. And his challenge to us was stop thinking about Point State Park as the end of downtown and think of it as the epicenter of a continuously connected green riverfront on both sides of the river that will become the center of community life. And by encompassing the riverfront edges within those 13 miles, we're actually repositioning the water as itself as the center of community activity and as our environmental treasure, as the place where economic value can be best realized, and really as we saw when the duck floated into town, as the place where people from far and wide of all ages will come when they want to when things start to happen.
Though it does seem odd that it took a giant inflated duck to get people to pay attention to what the real beauty is, which is the natural beauty of the rivers. Has the mission of River Life changed over the last 15 years?
I think the mission has been remarkably consistent. It was a mission to make the riverfronts a place where you want to bring the people you love, to fully realize the natural beauty that we have, as you so articulately described, and to really reclaim the edges of the water for the people who live here. In planning terms, we've kept it very simple, connecting along the riverfronts, connecting neighborhoods and districts to the riverfronts, and making sure that our beautiful bridges also connect down to the water. So as complex as the projects are, the mission is still fundamental and very simple and really comes out of those early public planning meetings.
And has the public gained a greater appreciation, placed a greater value on our rivers, the riverfronts, not just from a development perspective, and we'll get into some of what is happening along the rivers from that perspective, but also from a quality of life perspective?
Yes, there's no question. Every time a riverfront project is completed, the use rises exponentially. And the more pieces we connect, the more we're finding that families are spending their leisure time on bicycles by the river. People who work downtown are enjoying walking and running on the rivers in their lunch hour.
Kayaking.
There was a groundbreaking yesterday for a multimodal facility that will have kayaking parking inside. So every riverfront project includes a water landing, and we're seeing all kinds of craft now being employed on the rivers, biking, kayaking and rowing and power boats and water taxis.
And those kayaks that you can take those out. There's a whole bevy of them that are there for the taking for use by the public. How long has that been going on?
That Kayak Pittsburgh has done a remarkable job under Roberto Clemente Bridge. They rent seasonally. They rent kayaks, and they're I believe it's 20,000 kayaks rented in a season now. That's up from zero 7 or 8 years ago. So that's been one of the innovations that makes it possible for everyone, not people who live here and work here, but also visitors who come to enjoy the riverfronts, to get out and feel what it's like to be on the water.
And it's been going on for how many years now? Do we know, roughly?
Roughly 7 or 8 years,
okay.
Maybe 10.
Because I remember that did not
– a huge achievement for that organization.
Sure. And I remember growing up here, there was nothing like that. And then coming back to visit before I moved back to Pittsburgh, taking my nephew out, and you just couldn't wait to get out there and thinking, what a great opportunity this is. And to be in that water gives you a whole different perspective than to be walking alongside it, even though you may just be a few feet away. Once you're in the water paddling – you feel differently about it.
It's so true. We had a water taxi program for a summer about 10 years ago, and we did surveys on board for everyone who rode the taxi, and it was free to the public. And what was interesting was by far the majority of people who responded to the survey had never been on the rivers before, even though most of them were lifelong residents of the region. So we've come a long way.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Riverlife President and CEO Lisa Schroeder. She has led the organization for the last 15 years since 2000, and is now moving on to a new job in her hometown of Baltimore, which we'll ask her about. But now is the time for you to ask her about the rivers in Pittsburgh, how they've changed over the last 15 years. What else would you like to see happen? What are the concerns that you have about river life in Pittsburgh? 412-246-2002, the number to call again, 412-246-2002. Lisa, what are, as far as you're concerned, the key components to a good riverfront development project? We're seeing more of those, and one in particular that's come up this week that we'll talk about.
We are, and the Allegheny River, which is there was a great groundbreaking for a project that Oxford Development is undertaking called the Three Crossings Project, which is a multi-use development with residential and commercial use connected to the riverfront, repositioning the waterfront as the front yard rather than the backyard, mm-hmm. and including all manner of activity on the riverfront for not only for the people who will live in the apartments, the beautiful new apartments, but also the people who will come to enjoy the new riverfront park that we're working on called the Strip District Riverfront Park, which will extend, believe it or not, from all the way from 11th Street at the Convention Center to 31st Street Bridge as a new linear park. Think about Battery Park City or the Hudson River or in Pittsburgh right here at home, the North Shore Park. This will be a place where development can flourish at a whole new scale, sustainable, LEED-rated development that uses quality material, also that includes those all-important connections between the streets and the transportation stations and the waterfront, with marinas and boat landings on the edge, so that people can actually make that transition, walk from the top of the riverbanks to connect and touch the water. We also these developments also are hitting a whole new standard now in terms of environmental revitalization. We're working on stabilizing bank erosion, and also we're planning landscapes now that are not only beautiful, but they also collect and filter and clean water, stormwater, rainwater. So we can achieve all of these goals, economic goals, environmental goals, and quality of life goals on the riverfronts now.
That was a question I certainly was going to ask is balancing that development and with improved public access to our rivers. Can that be done? Are you worried or feel at all challenged by the idea of, with all that development, does it you know, kind of like with the beaches in California where, you know, so many people are living, you know, so close to the beach that the public doesn't get the same kind of access that they once did to those beaches.
Well, here's the remarkable thing about Pittsburgh, and that is that the property owners and philanthropists and politicians have all come together around this goal of making sure that we are amply connected to our waterfronts because everyone wins. So by enacting design guidelines, and we're working with the Department of City Planning constantly on those design guidelines, we've figured out ways that these developments can serve their clients and their tenants and also can build this public realm that we're now so proud of. I like to call this the Pittsburgh model. Pits of development on our waterfront started at a time when the city was in a state of fiscal distress. There were very few resources to be found. We did not have a dedicated funding or consolidated property ownership, and it happened the way Pittsburghers make things happen. People rolled up their sleeves, figured out what each sector could contribute, and now when people build on the riverfront, each section is very unique, but they all include the same consistent open promenades, bikeways, and connections into the city fabric, so that ultimately you have a very varied experience, and it works for the developers, but it also provides this whole new playground for the city.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join our conversation with RiverLife President and CEO Lisa Schroeder. How do you interact with the city's rivers, and has that interaction increased in recent years? You can let us know. Join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Let's go to the phones. We have Elizabeth in Pittsburgh. Elizabeth, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I was just interested. I really enjoy what you guys have done over the years with the rivers and also the close proximity to the bike trails. And just how much people are using that again. And I was just wondering if there's any plan to manage some of the invasive plants, such as Japanese knotweed, that have sort of taken over some of the riparian areas, especially along along just the area of downtown and along the Ohio. Just wondering if there's any thought or plan for that.
Well, that is such an important question, and you're absolutely right. It's one of our biggest challenges. When we're planning landscapes now, we have done a lot of work with firms from around the country, including in Pittsburgh, who are looking at appropriate native plant communities, and we've looked long and hard about how our riverbanks can be bioengineered to replicate the original habitat that we have here, also to create habitat for fish, birds, and mammals who once lived along the waterfront edges. Removing invasive species is, of course, the very first step. So in the future, when a project takes place along the riverfront, you will see an immediate focus on removing invasive species, and then the efforts taken to stabilize the banks and replant them appropriately to keep those species from taking over again. As I'm sure you know, the invasives are exactly that. They can overrun a landscape, and so we'll need to be very careful to tend these landscapes and stabilize them so that we can stop this cycle of invasives taking over.
What are the other improvements? And by the way, Elizabeth, thank you for that call and question. What are the other improvements that you feel are still needed for Pittsburgh's riverfronts?
We have spaces that we need to finish connecting. And we have some amazing new frontier projects. When I say spaces that need to be connected, we're working on construction plans for connecting the Mon Wharf on both ends into Point State Park and onto the Smithfield Street Bridge. Those will be the last of the last connections between the Great Allegheny Passage and Point State Park Fountain as the finish point or the start line for the Great Allegheny Passage. Very important. We're also working with the Highwoods Development Group on the South Side Works, who are amazingly taking on the three remaining parcels of infill development. So you'll see new office and or hotels going up that are setting a whole a standard of quality for architecture. In addition to the Allegheny Riverfront, which we really think is going to transform Pittsburgh in a way that that we've not seen so far. 10 blocks of soft green bank adjacent to a very lively environment for real estate development, a lot of residential and new neighborhood activity taking place. And on the North Shore, we're working on pushing forward the North Shore Park west, continuing to move down from North Shore Park to include the Carnegie Science Center and the casino and the West End pedestrian bridge. The Science Center has exciting expansion plans, and the casino has exciting plans eventually for a hotel. And so all of that will come together to make what will be likely be the next destination right in the heart of downtown. So there's a great deal more to be done. The great news is that the quality of development that we're seeing coming into Pittsburgh is, frankly, our wildest dreams 15 years ago. It's really great to see developers locally and coming in from all over the country viewing waterfront as premium property.
And certainly you leave quite a legacy, Lisa, the overall improvements to Pittsburgh's riverfronts since RiverLife was founded in 1999 have resulted in, by some estimates, an additional $4.1 billion in adjacent riverfront development. That's pretty good legacy.
That's actually a hard number. It's very exciting. The thing that I love about the development, which has taken place adjacent to the riverfronts within the boundaries of Three Rivers Park, is that it's so diverse. It's public, it's private, it's cultural, it's residential, it's hotels, it's commercial, it's entertainment. And so we really know now that if we build it, they will come. And I have to say that I think RiverLife is stronger than it has ever been. We have an exceptionally dedicated and talented staff and board, and they are in part so effective because of the ways that they reach out to the community. So I have a lot of faith that the action and the energy and the momentum is only going to increase in the future, and it's really been thrilling to see it.
And you're moving back to your hometown of Baltimore. Tell us about your new position.
I will be CEO and president of the Parks and People Foundation, which is a 30-year-old organization that was founded to assist the city in providing recreational and healthy green space opportunities and access. They have bloomed over the 30 years into an organization that has a three-prong mission: greening open space and creating beautiful parks and maintaining parks, conducting frontline environmental urban research, and providing a staggering array of recreational programs. So I've got a lot to learn there too.
Let's take one last quick call from Christine in Pittsburgh, who has a question. Christine, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. I appreciate the presentation you're giving today and your enthusiasm. I work as a mission developer here in Pittsburgh, and my question for you is, what considerations are being given here in Pittsburgh as the riverfronts are developed for the poor, for people with limited resources, who need low-income housing, who need green space as well?
It's a great question, especially in lieu of this, the announcement yesterday about the development of the 300 luxury apartment component of that development in the Strip District. These are market-rate apartments. There's no low-income housing, so Christine's concern is very prescient.
Yeah. I think what is happening here in Pittsburgh, which is very special, because if you consider the fact that within the 13 miles of downtown Riverfront that we have been talking about, there are over 30 property owners. And so all of them are voluntarily opening up their riverfronts for public access to all of the community that you describe. And I'm not sure that's the case anywhere in the country where so many private property owners are willing to put forward their waterfront as a community resource.
President and CEO of RiverLife, Lisa Schroeder. She is the outgoing president. She's been at the helm of the organization since 2000 and is leaving Pittsburgh for her hometown of Baltimore. This has been her exit interview. Lisa Schroeder, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And as the year comes to an end, we're looking back on highlights of Essential Pittsburgh from 2014 and airing listener favorites. To vote, go to our website, WESA.FM, and click on Vote for the Best of Essential Pittsburgh 2014. And our sister station, WYEP, is holding its 7th annual holiday Hootenanny tomorrow at Stage AE. Gets underway at 7. For tickets, go to WYEP.org. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.